The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us again. This is Jamie D and Big Newts. We talk all things Buffalo Bills every other week in the offseason, every week during the regular season. We get our name because my name is Jamie D'Amico and his name is Big Chris Newton. Big Newt, it's been a couple of weeks. It still seems strange not speaking to you every week. I missed you, buddy.
I miss you too, man. You got to excuse me. My voice is gone, man. As y'all see on Twitter, my daughter's making a playoff run right now. So I've been yelling my butt off for the last 3 weeks. So
yeah,
you got to excuse me, man. I'm a little bit, you know, but I'm going to try to bring the energy so we can give y'all a good pod.
Good pod. The pod this week, it's going to be the opposite of the last one. Last time we talked about the things we liked about the Buffalo Bills season, but you know what? The Bills did not win the Super Bowl. So there has to be at least one thing we didn't like about the season, right?
Yeah, it ended a couple of games before we thought we would, but that ain't one of my things. Is that one of yours?
No, not specifically, but, you know, unless you're the best team in the NFL, there's got to be something that went wrong, right?
Exactly, and we're going to talk about a few things.
Yes. Also, we probably have to touch on the scouting combine and, oh, the fall from grace that seems to be Russell Wilson along the way.
Crazy.
But before we get to that, I got to find out, what's been going on with you, buddy? I know last time we talked about some, let's call it personal medical procedures that you had undergone.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing about not going weekly. You know, when we don't catch up for 2 weeks, it's like a lot of things could change, right? So, yeah, sure. I got a couple of weeks ago, I was dealing with the colonoscopy. And like I said, you know, thank God I don't have any polyps or any cancer, just some hemorrhoids. But also, like I said, man, just watching film with my daughter. She's playing Simone's playing Saturday for the Class 5 state championship. So, wow. Root on the Lady Rapids of James River. Hopefully we can be Princess Anne and get a state championship.
Where are they playing?
At VCU Saturday at 4:30. So if you want to come down.
Where's VCU located?
It's in downtown Richmond.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, can tell that you've been yelling. I've seen some great highlights, too.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That Simone can play.
Yeah, she's all right, man. She's all right. Better than an old man, so.
Well, I mean, the fact that she's going to end up playing D1 basketball, yeah, I would say, I mean, you played D2 football.
Yeah.
I guess that means she is good, better.
Right? I know, right? She stepped it up, man. You just want your kids to be better than you, so.
So.
What about you? How's things going with you? Anything new? Anything interesting?
Well, I thought of something that I need to apologize to you for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't think this is even on your radar, and it wasn't on mine until I had this conversation, but as you know, I have gone to a program at Georgetown University to become a business leadership coach, and in that program, I was coaching some of my classmates, one of the things that they do to give us experience, and one of the people I was coaching in one of my sessions was a woman of color, and what she wanted to talk about was the fact that in her place of work, She said that she had become sick and tired of being the person who has to answer for all black people. And as a person who cannot relate to that, I was like, huh, tell me more. And then after the fact, it was a very interesting conversation. And then after the fact, I'm like, oh God, I've done that to Newt so many times. Hey Newt, why do black people do this? Hey Newt, why do black people do that? And you, God, you have always been so patient with me. But man, I am sorry. I put you right in that, right in her position, and I didn't realize how infuriating it was. I'm sorry, no, man.
Don't be at all. And the difference in that scenario is you and I are friends. Where if it's the workplace, you don't want to deal with that stuff because some of these people you don't even like, you know, naturally. You know, you don't like everybody at work, you know what I'm saying? So you asking me a question is different because I know you care about me. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I will, you know what I'm saying? Where people at work, they might have different intentions when they ask you the same type questions. So there's nothing that you told a line on a lot of different issues, you know, but you've never made me feel that way when we talk about cultural differences.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I guess I don't reciprocate it because my wife is white, so I'm in an interracial marriage. So
you just ask her. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I can't see you asking the same sort of naive or ignorant questions that many other people have asked, like, man, what's going on with white people names these days? Like, you know, which is a question I've been asking people. But nonetheless, I can't see you doing that.
We talk about Tre'Davious and we talk about all those names. You love those names.
I love the Avious names.
And I do too. I do too. So
it started with Barkevious Mingo.
Yep.
Hey, that was the first one I'd ever heard. And I'm like, what?
You gotta love it.
But I you're right when you say it must be different when it's at work. Things like, hey, we need to have a panel on diversity. Oh, by the way, you're on it because you're our diversity. Like, and wait, I don't want to be on it. Well, you have to be though.
And if I was on it, I wouldn't be. No, I would be real bland and real. Yeah, you're not gonna open yourself up to people who aren't your friends. That's just like now. I mean, when you and I created this podcast, you know, I was very reserved at first. But now, mm-hmm. 3 years in, I let my guard down more because now I'm like, if you've been listening to us 3 years, it's like I look at you like I'm a friend or family. Yeah. Like we talk about that like barbershop. Like, if you're not interested in us, then you're not going to listen to us. So therefore, I've opened up my life. We both have. We've opened up our lives more on this podcast than we did at first. So, right. Yeah, you know, I've shared my problems. I have my, you know, best friend on here. I've talked about some of our experiences that no one at work would know about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At work is high and by. And yeah, chat, yeah, that was a great joke. Ha ha. Right? Like, at work, I'm more of a listener. Mm-hmm. I don't really talk.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's different. I don't know. But that's just me. Maybe I'm just weird like that because I know you never know people's intentions until you get to know them. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah.
So a lot of people are jealous. A lot of people want to hurt you. They don't have best intentions for you. And that's cool. It's how about let's get this job done. I have plenty of friends. So I don't need to make more friends, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. But no, if I was on a diversity, I would be very professional and it's high and by and it's going to be basic cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, I think more or less it was like she was told she had to do those things, whether she wanted to or not. And it's
I would do it.
It's like, why are you making me answer for everyone? Like, this is stupid.
I would be the residential African-American person. I don't mind being that. It's just I'm not going to open up like we're friends.
Right.
You know?
And like you said, they got to listen to the podcast for that.
Exactly. So no, don't please at all. Don't ever think you have to apologize for being you because you're my friend. So
thank you.
Now, some of the stuff you said to me, if we just worked together, I'd probably knock your teeth out. I'm just playing. You've seen me naked for God's sake. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, people at work is not going to see me naked. So, I mean, Jeez. And I guess I need to watch what I say with that whole stuff going on with P. Diddy and stuff. So I need to watch myself.
Well, I've never accused you of, like, assaulting me.
But the people, if they listen, they'll listen to the whole thing and know the backstory. They might assume that. Jeez.
Okay.
Anyway, look that up. Go to Twitter and look it up. We won't talk about it. Look up Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy, and see the stuff he's going through right now. So,
for anybody who does not know the story, Newt and I went to Cleveland for a football game. And
we were playing the Browns. It was Bills Browns.
And we share a hotel room, and Newt gets into the shower, but the soap was left out in the sink that was in the room, and he just jumped out of the shower, comes waltzing across, no towel or anything, grabs the soap, turns around, and goes back in. I'm like, what just happened?
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it was so unexpected.
You know, ex-athletes just walk around, man. I guess I just didn't think much about it. And I didn't want to bother you. I could have been like, hey, give me the soap.
I'd have been like, I'm not getting near you.
Exactly. I just chose to take it all myself.
Well, I appreciate it. And let's say it's an indelible memory at this point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, I guess, I don't know whether that ranks as something I liked or didn't like during that season.
Oh, man.
But getting back to the topic at hand, do you realize the last podcast we actually went 20 minutes before actually talking football? And I'd like to get to it before the 20-minute mark this time.
Please do, because we got a lot more to talk about now. So please do. Let's get at it. I'll start what I didn't like about the season.
Okay.
I'll start. Number one, and this might be something that you all don't agree with, but I talked about this last summer. I didn't like how the season started from the standpoint with the whole Stephon Diggs fiasco. I didn't like it. I didn't like all this. I like calmness. I like steadiness. I don't want to be in the headlines and all this stuff about he wanted out and all this crap. I hated it. So when I think about this season, I think about how it started. And I think maybe that has something to do with some of the losses we had early on, because I think we cleaned it up, you know, towards the end. But I did not like how the season started. And I just didn't like, I guess this is two things. I didn't like the second half of his season. Okay. So I guess this is two things. I mean, 20 yards against Kansas City, 50 yards against the Steelers, New England second time, 20 yards, 30 yards against the Chargers, at Kansas City, 24 yards. I didn't like his, I didn't like the noise around him first during the summer, but then I didn't like his usage the second half of the season. Maybe that wasn't necessarily him. That's play calling too. But I just feel like he's one of the best receivers in the game. Let's use him as such. And I just think we fail to do that. So those are two of my things.
Okay, so I was going to lead with the second one that you brought up, but I think that you make a great point about the very first one, about Diggs showing up but wasn't at practice, even though he was there. And then you could tell that nobody was being honest about what really went down.
Right, right. We were getting the PR stuff, which you could smell from a mile away.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because we criticize the, you know, when they don't give you anything, and then we criticize them when they're too honest. Because, oh, man, why would you say something like that? Yeah. So there's, you know, there's no winning, but
you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're never
absolutely
gonna make people, everybody happy. So.
But the way I was going to spin it,
okay,
when it came to the second half of the season for Stephon Diggs, I was going to point at Joe Judge, because Diggs was on pace to have the best season of his career until Ken Dorsey was let go. And at that point, it seemed like the only time they threw to Diggs, he was within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I did not like that usage at all. I understand that there was really no way to roll coverage away from him. But if you look at, say, the Chiefs game, they didn't double him. They locked Legarius Sneed on Diggs and shut him down. absolutely shut Diggs down one-on-one. Now, that can be a variety of things. Personally, I think L'Jarius Sneed just has his number. That happens sometimes. Sometimes a player just has your number.
Right.
But the other thing is, I think you need to scheme people open, and I don't know that Judge was doing that. I can't speak more educatedly on the topic, but if I'm Judge, I'm figuring out ways of scheming Stephon Diggs open far more frequently because, number one, it keeps him happy. Number two, he catches everything. Number three, one of the best route runners in the NFL. It shouldn't be that hard.
I agree. I'm with you.
Ooh. Found myself getting a little more fired up than I expected.
I'm sorry.
To
I know that you got to realize during this part, especially the first part, we're going to rehash some bad things. See, last week was all fluffy and happy and kittens and bubble gums and candy sticks. But yeah, now we're going to rehash bad things.
Oh boy. So I am going to say that one of the things I didn't like is the Ken Dorsey offense.
Yes.
The Bills kept teams in games that absolutely had no business being there because the Ken Dorsey offense basically ran three plays, and they ran those three different plays out of the exact same formations every single time. And it was Dan Orlovsky who... Is there any... Sidebar. Is there anybody who dislikes Dan Orlovsky?
I don't know. That's a good question. Orlovsky, I like him.
Orlovsky from ESPN, not only is he likable, his analysis is so good.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's good. He backs up everything he says with film. Right. He'll be like, okay, the Bills offense is the easiest offense to prepare for in the NFL by a long shot. Let me show you why. Right. Here they are in this formation. What they do in this formation is they're going to run exactly the same routes on both sides of the field. By the way, this is a zone beater concept. If they switch out of zone and go man-to-man, the Bills are dead in the water. They've got nobody who can get open here. Number two, they have two receivers on the left, two receivers on the right, and side of the line of scrimmage. If these guys are covered on the side that Josh Allen is initially looking, he has to go all the way back to the other side of the field. You don't have time for that as a quarterback. They need to get somebody open in the middle of the field. And I'm sitting there watching it, and he's showing the film, pointing it out, stopping the film, pausing it. I'm like, you can't argue with this guy. And that's what Ken Dorsey was doing. Couldn't stand it. Awful. I think they needed to get rid of him three games sooner than they did.
We always said a decision you make tomorrow is a decision you should have made yesterday. I totally agree. One thing I don't like about Olasky is the fact that he dresses so smooth, man. that thin frame, and it's like he wears everything European cut.
Yeah.
And then he got the, you know, the pants that, you know, like when we were growing up, it was flooding, you know what I'm saying, showing your ankles. But it looks so smooth on him, man. I hate it.
It does.
I wish I could wear stuff like that, but I would look crazy. I think big people, I don't know, I might be body shaming right now, but I'm big. Big people look crazy when they dressed up.
Well, you know, I think everybody has to dress for their body type. Now, you say they look crazy when they dress up. What do you mean?
I hate when I dress up now. I feel like I look my best in sweat stuff, like loose fitting sweat stuff. If I wear four fitting stuff, I don't like it. So, yeah, when I put on a suit, and especially if you wear a suit with a vest, I just think the more layers you have on, the more it situates how big you are. Man, and I don't like it. But that's me. That's just my personal opinion. I like it when I wear loose-fitting joggers and stuff like that, or athletic gear, or jeans and a sweatshirt or a hoodie. I feel like I look at my best at that versus when I get dressed up.
Now, that's interesting because I have a very different take on that, which is I think bigger people, especially dudes, look much better in sport coats, in suits and stuff like that, because it creates a longer line and you don't end up with like seeing somebody's belly or things like that. Like take Alec Baldwin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's a fat crap, but he looks really good on 30 Rock when he's wearing a suit, because it sort of covers up all of those flaws that he may have. And, you know, the other thing is that the skinny guy suit is sort of out now, or is on its way out. But yeah, I think the long lines and the structured sport coats look really nice on big dudes.
Okay. Well, I got a tiebreaker, man. And you know what? We've been on her 3 years. Come here. Come here. You all have never met my wife, Lynn Borden Newton. She's about to walk out. She's about to walk out. She can't hear you because I got the headphones on, but you just got to listen to me. We're talking about dressing, right? She was talking about Dan Orlovsky, how he dresses. He looks wonderful in his European cut suit because he got that slim build. So I said, well, I don't want to tell you what I said. What, in your opinion, you just tell the people out here, in your opinion, do you like me more dressed up, or do you like me in sport gear? Which one do you think I'm more attractive in? Not men in general, because I know your opinion on men in general. I'm talking about me. As a big guy, do you think I look better in suits and stuff at this point, or in athletic, like loose-fitting athletic wear? Speaking to the mic, we can get your opinion.
I like athletic wear.
Okay, good.
Wow.
And a hat. And she said she likes when I wear hats.
And a hat.
Yeah, baseball hats. Like, I got a ton of Cardinal caps. I got Bills caps, too.
So you know what?
I wear hats.
I mean, there we have it.
Yeah. I didn't want to give my opinion because I didn't want to skew you. Because, like I said, she can't hear me, so she's about to walk out. But what we were talking about was, I don't like me in a suit no more. Like, when I was more in shape, I liked myself in a suit. Like, when I was still playing ball, I liked when I dress up. Like, when you're a big guy, you're muscular, like Shannon Sharp, he looks great in his suits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He looks like he's busting out of those.
Yeah, that's what makes it cool, because you can see, like, it's like wearing tight-fitting shirts. It's like you can see your silhouette. You can see your muscles.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. But with me, it's like you see my rolls. You see my gut. You know what I'm saying? I hate it.
Hey, you're wearing the wrong suits, buddy.
Yeah. Maybe.
But, hey. I mean, I couldn't picture you in a suit. I can't. Yeah, I've never seen you in anything other than sportswear.
Right. You've never seen me in a suit.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because I hate it. I hate it.
Well, and it's also not like you're going to show up to the bar on a Sunday to watch the Bills in a suit.
Right.
Some dude did that had never watched a game with us. He showed up with a tie on. He's like, I'm visiting from out of town. Like, oh, where were you today? Oh, nowhere. I just came here to watch a game. Why are you wearing a tie? Oh, I don't know.
I thought you was going to say he was coming from church or something on a Sunday. He just
that's what I
church.
Asked. He's like, yeah. No.
No, this is just
why did you put on a tie? Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just used to putting ties on. Like, you know, you can take it off.
Oh, man.
That was weird, man.
Yeah, you meet some interesting people at the sports bar watching the game, and sometimes you become friends with them. Because I tell you, our group that we watch the game with, that's totally eclectic, I tell you so.
Yes.
We're all different. We all got different political backgrounds and thoughts. But, hey, we love the Bills, so we come together and watch it.
Hey, I mean, that's the most important similarity, right?
And that it is.
All right. Yep. What else did you not like about the about the season, other than the players getting off the bus wearing suits?
Well, they look great in suits, so I'm not talking about them. I'm simply only talking about me. And I'm only talking about me right now. Like I said, in college, I loved dressing up. I'm in a fraternity. We used to have to dress up to go to our meetings every Sunday. I love putting on a good suit. That's when I was in shape. Now I'm, you know, a butterbean, so I don't like it. I'm more round. That's all. So, but anyway, the next thing I didn't like, the very first game, dude, we got off on a bad note. The New Jersey, when we played the Jets and we lost Josh Allen, 3 interceptions. I mean, once again, go back to the pod, go back to the archives. I was like, I know we just didn't lose to the Jets. Mm-hmm. And it was like the fact that, once again, Aaron Rodgers went out early in the game. We lost to the backup quarterback who's probably going to be unemployed. I just hated it. And I know that everyone go through those stinker games. Mm-hmm. You got to move on. But I just like we were on national TV. I'm like, just win those games. Mm-hmm. Like my whole thing as a fan is win the games when you're on national TV and everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lose the games when we play Jacksonville at 9 a.m. And, you know, that loss didn't bother me at all, except we lost guys. But,
yes,
you want to start off on a good foot, and we did, and it stunk. And then Josh Allen had 3 picks. I just, you know, that's one thing I'm going to remember about this season.
Yeah, that really started things off on the wrong note, didn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we still got what we predicted we would, but yeah, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth for the first week.
And I think the thing that was most annoying about it is there's just no way you should lose to a Zach Wilson team.
Right. Right.
And then the Bills did.
Yes.
And that is just beyond upsetting when that occurs. Because, you know, he's truly one of the worst QBs in the league, right? And
yes,
still
he's going to be looking for work.
Right. And still the Bills managed to lay that egg, and it was just a terrible look, especially when you consider that as the season went along, they needed that game. Whatever. I guess they still...
We finished strong, as we talked about last week. Our finish was something we wouldn't have never predicted, you know. But yeah, the start was a little rough. Yeah.
All right. Right. I did not love the lack of performance by any receiver in the first half of the season.
Okay.
Gabe Davis was invisible. Khalil Shakir took a little while to get started. They didn't use Dalton Kincaid the right way, and Dawson Knox was completely invisible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that at all. It really looked to me like the Bills were severely lacking in the receiver room. And toward the end of the year, we saw Khalil Shakir come on, and he actually ended up with the highest contested catch percentage in the NFL.
Yes, he did.
Says a lot about him. Dalton Kincaid looks like he's going to be good, but when you have a tight end making $15 million a year, Dawson Knox, that person has got to contribute as more than just a blocker.
I agree.
And Gabe Davis, you know, his stats were okay at the end of the year, but his propensity to disappear for very large chunks, including entire games at a time, it just doesn't help. I know he was a great blocker. Like, if you watch the film, you can see that he really did a lot to spring other players. But you're a receiver. Your first responsibility is catching the ball. Catch the ball, man.
I agree. And now it makes you wonder with the Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. And once again, man, I'm all for best player available. Right. But now, once again, look at your tight end room. You got a guy making more money, and we're going to talk about our transactions. And one that happened yesterday was the release of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Chicago. We traded him for, we traded him for a fifth round pick, right?
A 5, yeah.
And it's like we got rid of him because he was making $5 million and he only played like 20 or 30 plays for us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we already talked about Tre'Davious White contract. We already talked about Von Miller's contract. And so now you got a backup dude and making $5 million. We're going to take a cap hit this year, but that's okay. Because I feel like they believe in Alec Anderson, you know, and so he'll be that swing guy or whatnot. And also we restructured Colin McGovern also.
Yes.
To save some money.
Which needed to happen, of course, right. But you know, I do have a concern about that. I'm not sure that letting go of a guy who you trust is the best move.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if in the end the issue was they promised him he would play and then he lost his job. And now they're just trying to do right by him and be like, hey, look, we didn't give you what we promised. We're going to send you to a team that's going to start you.
Right.
Maybe they're trying to do right by the player, but at the same time, I don't know how good I feel about them sacrificing depth right now.
But I feel that, but my thing is he's making too much money, bro.
Yeah.
You know, so now we got a penny pinch. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that maybe it was along the lines of he's
making more than Spencer Brown.
Yeah.
So
do you think it was along the lines of maybe he was asked to take a pay cut and refused? So they said, well, I mean, if you're not going to take a pay cut, we just can't keep you.
It could have been, for argument's sake, perhaps. But I just feel like they believe, because I believe that they just believe in Alec Anderson being that swing guy, and he don't even make $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feel, and I probably enjoy this part of the season, like the NFL. I love the combine. I love the draft. I love free agency. I love the salary cap stuff. And maybe that's because I'm a sport management guy. I mean, I love this. And just to see what Brandon Bean, to me, this is in the game. Like, when we weren't going to the playoffs, I looked forward to this time of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, who we going to draft? Having hope. And so to see the business side of it, it's like the game within the game. How are you going to keep within the salary cap? And this is one of them. The roster construction. It's been hit and miss. We talked on the podcast about Brandon Bean and his draft. I mean, it's hit and miss, mm-hmm. right? And so how he builds the roster, he finds backups. He finds, you know, deals in other places that people, you know, you bring in Leonard Floyd for a great contract and he contributes. You bring in Rasul Douglas, which we fleeced we fleeced the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get Matt Milano in the fifth round, Terrell Bernard, Dotson. Like, I like that part of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, and it gives you, because once again, it's only one Super Bowl winner. You know, mm-hmm. it's Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs, right? But can you win the offseason with the Rock? You know, it gives you hope. So I enjoy it. So I look at it different. Maybe I'm a little over optimistic and believing in him, but I feel like that was just, they believe in Alec Anderson to be where he is at a much cheaper price.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to cut corners. So hopefully we can cut corners without cutting talent. And you know, and we got to hose the field. Like, we got to hit on this year's draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're not going to be able to, if you all think we're bringing in a Von Miller or a big name, you know, somebody like that, Mario, what's his name?
Williams.
Mario, that's not going to happen. We don't have the money. We're just trying to get under the cap. Everybody's going to be spending. We're going to be borrowing money, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, what old Southern people say.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So don't expect that, but we still can make moves that's going to improve us. All right? Gabe Davis is probably out the door. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Leonard Floyd and A.J. Epinesa. Are we going to get one, lose both? What's going to go on at the end? Daquan Jones, who I pray we bring back. Is mm-hmm. he going to take a pay? Mitch Morris, will he take a pay cut? Obviously, we're going to restructure some contracts. That's going to happen in the next couple of years. So all these things are moving parts, and I'm eager to see how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to go on a long
No, I love it. I think that it is the intriguing time of year, and I second that emotion when you say, if you think we're bringing in a big free agent, you're mistaken. I love the people out there that are like, oh, they can sign Mike Evans. No, they can't sign Mike Evans.
Who took a 2-year extension for, because he wanted $25 million a year.
Yeah.
And he did it with the Bucks, got a 2-year extension for like 50-some million. So he got his money. Mm-hmm. And did you know that he's the only player in NFL history to have 10 straight seasons of 1,000 yards receiving?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either until they flashed that $20 million a year contract extension. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I mean, I'm not a big Bucks fan, but I thought that was interesting. I mean, so he's basically a shoe. He got a Super Bowl, so he's basically a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he is at this point, and yeah. I didn't see that coming necessarily because he always did it very quietly. But yeah. With the Bills having traded Butler, and I realize that we're going on quite a tangent here, they now have 11 draft picks.
Yes.
And I wonder what that's going to look like because this may be a situation where they need all of those draft picks because they may not be able to fill holes in the free agency. Yeah.
Right.
So do they have to go that route? Are they going to go that route? Are they going to package a bunch of those picks to move up and maybe sacrifice next year's first round pick? I saw somebody propose today that they give up their next two first round picks along with two other picks this upcoming season that could get them up to the number 9 selection where the Bears are. I mean, if they were to get themselves into the top 10, that would be interesting. But I think it's a conversation for another time as we get closer to the draft. But it is something that's intriguing to think about. And let's you and I put on our thinking caps and decide if we like that or not. And then we'll talk about it in a future podcast.
And we're talking about Ryan Bates going to Chicago. We kept saying Butler. This is Ryan Bates.
I say? Yeah, we did say Butler, didn't we?
It's all right. We get to going sometimes. We mispronounce, but it's Ryan Bates. Huh. But yeah, I it's something I did want to bring up. Are we done with what we didn't like? Because it's two more things I just want to mention real quick before we move on.
Oh, please.
Obviously, just some quick hitters. Von Miller. Obviously, coming off his terrible injury, and how much money he makes, if we keep him, we got to get something out of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, I guess we are a little too honest. We were talking about, we're friends, so I'll tell you how I feel on here for the most part. We were hoping that he get in trouble with that domestic violence case, allegedly, so we could get from under his contract because he's making too much money to give us absolutely nothing. And now we got to go into another, like you've always said, I call you every week and I know I need to apologize to you because I'm always like, man, if we could just get rid of Von Miller, you're like, no, we can't get rid of Von Miller, right? But I don't know now, we're going to talk about this Russell Wilson thing. Maybe we can take on a dead cap. Jeez.
Well, you have to have the cap space in order to give yourself a dead cap space. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, but there needs to be two parties willing to do that. And Von would have to be willing to eat a bunch of money and do some restructuring in order for that to occur.
Which there's no way he's going to do that.
No, that would be a bad business move on his part.
Because he's never going to make this kind of money again. We need him to be like Ricky Williams. You remember Ricky Williams, and he signed with Master P. He was his agent. And y'all don't probably remember because I was there for this. And so when he got drafted, Ricky Williams, running back from Texas, got drafted by the New Orleans Saints, right? He signed with Master P, and Master P never represented people. He started to be an agent. He didn't take the traditional money he would have been slotted in. He was like, no, I want to go in and prove myself. So they lowballed him, right? Because they gave up a whole bunch. They gave up a whole draft to John. Mm-hmm. The Saints gave up their whole draft to draft Ricky Williams. And then they lowballed him because he said, I want to prove myself. And everybody was like, you got to be crazy. Because if you blow out your knee, what do? Mm-hmm. Right? So we got to hope that Von Miller just wants to give us back like $50, $60 million or something crazy.
And doesn't that seem likely?
No, that's never going to happen. He's never going to get another payday again.
No.
And so the last thing I was going to bring up, the 4 weeks on the schedule, once again, we talked about the Jets game. The 4 weeks when we took losses to Denver and New England, that was horrible. That was horrible. And at that point, you listen to us, we didn't think we were going anywhere, right? And so when you take losses to Denver and New England, you got to make that up. And I think we made that up later in the year when we won at Kansas City and then we blasted Dallas. Mm-hmm. Once we got those two wins, we knew that, hey, man, we got a chance, you know. And so at the end of the year, we went on that five-game winning streak, Kansas City, Dallas, the Chargers, New England at home, and then at Miami, of course, to get us the AFC, once again, the third AFC East title and get us to the playoffs. So that wasn't a good time for us. And once again, if you go back to the archives and listen to us, we weren't happy campers during that stretch.
But it goes back to something that you say on the regular, and that proved out to be true. The season is fluid.
It is.
And that was a perfect example of the fluidity of the season.
Yes.
Perfect example of it.
Yes, it was.
Right. So I am going to leave you with one more item that I didn't like, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. I just didn't like the injuries, and there's nothing you can do about it, but the number of players lost on the defense had a devastating effect on the season. Matt Milano looked like he improved on the previous season when he was an All-Pro.
Yes.
And losing him was terrible. Daquan Jones was excellent, and then he got hurt. Trey White, former All-Pro. And Micah Hyde had a hard time. It's too bad. It's really too bad that they had to lose the number of games from some of their most important players, because it could have been a slightly different season.
I agree. We always talk about if Josh Allen, because he was on the cover of Madden, we was worried about the Madden curse. We didn't lose Josh Allen, but we lost so much more. I'm not going to say more, but we lost a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And we can't really complain about the season. We won the AFC East, but you're right. This will be the season, what could have been if we didn't have so many devastating injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah.
It was a toughie. It was for sure. It was a toughie, but you know what? Still a fun season.
It was.
It actually was enjoyable, despite all the things that went wrong. And I don't know if I have any problems with any of it, other than not winning the final game of the season.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So also, man, I know you probably don't get into the NFL Combine, but the NFL Combine was this past week. Couple of things, man. The Texas wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, man, ran a 4.21, bro.
Yeah.
Rolling. He kept running. Once he saw he ran a 4.21, he kept running. He ran to the locker room, you know. Spikes blazing. And I just don't understand it. I mean, I don't think that people really understand how fast that is. Like, these athletes are getting faster and faster. So, to run that on the turf in the Colts Stadium, he broke John Ross's record of 4.22, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know John Ross, he played for the Bengals.
Yep.
And we know how fast he was. So, I think Xavier Worthy made some money, man, this week. So,
I think so.
And there was a lot of linebackers. I mean, we won't go all into it, but it was linebackers running 4.4, 4.5.
That's insane.
You know, and so it's a lot of talent, man. And so going back to what you said about us moving up in the draft, and once again, we're going to get more into this. Is, you know, we still got another month and a half before the draft, being early March. And also my favorite time of the year, because what's Saturday? It's going to be daylight savings time.
Oh, yeah.
You know I love that. But let me stay on task, though. We're going to talk more about the draft as the weeks come up. But I tell you, man, it was some guys that made some money this week. And, no, I do. As of right now, I mean, obviously, we don't know. It's fluid, right? Mm-hmm. But as of today, early March, I do not want to move up in the draft. I want to keep all my draft stock and try to make – and maybe even get more, okay – and try to make good picks and fill in some of those holes through the draft. Brandon Bean at the press conference at the draft said it. He was like, we're going to be young in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So that made me feel good. Like, okay, Because Josh Allen, yeah, he's entering the peak of his career, but what will we, if you draft right, young talent, what will we be 3 years from now? Mm-hmm. Once we get from under Tre'Davious, I mean, we both think that Tre'Davious is probably going to get cut.
Probably.
Right? All right, Von Miller, we got, once we get from under his, you know, 3 years from now, get from under his contract, so this good young talent around a veteran Josh Allen, I honestly believe Bills Mafia of what Sean McDermott said in Indianapolis. He said, and I quote, well, I ain't going to quote, but he basically said, it isn't if we win the Super Bowl, it's when we win the Super Bowl. Mm. And I do believe that. I believe we're going to win the Super Bowl with Josh Allen. All right? You can take that with a grain of salt, because I thought we'd win one with Jim Kelly, too, in that offense. But I feel like we're going to be in contention, and we have been. We've been winning the AFC East the last couple of years. So we're there. We're Super Bowl favorites. We just got to stay healthy and get it done. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to – in this draft, I'll be perfectly happy to stay at 20 – what are we at, 28?
28.
Because this is a receiver draft. Mel Kiper said yesterday post-combine that it's going to be about 25 receivers taken in the first four rounds.
Jeez.
We don't need a number one receiver. We need a number two receiver.
Mm-hmm.
We can find a number two receiver at number 28.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So I don't, this is where, once again, I don't know how free agency is going to stack up. Are we going to, once again, not to repeat, but are we going to lose both Floyd and Epinesa?
It's a very good chance.
Both,
yeah,
of them? Well, if we lose both of them, we need to drive in. Are we going to lose Daquan Jones? If we lose Daquan Jones, then maybe we go with Newton from Illinois at 28. Mm-hmm. He'll be there. And I can get a Newton jersey, Buffalo Bills. That'll, yep, make you happy, you know? So how are we going to fill these holes is going to dictate our draft board. But I guarantee you, we don't have to move up to get somebody that's going to help us.
100% agreed upon, because they did not move up to get Greg Rousseau, and he, right, has been an excellent contributor.
And they got a, they could, you could get Newton from Illinois, D tackle, big guy. You could get Chop Robinson from Penn State on the edge.
Maybe.
He'll be there. Okay.
Don't know if he'll be there, but.
Well, if he's not there, then move up a little bit. I'm not saying he's not going to be in the top 20. So if he's there at 21, 22, okay, cool. Move up and take him. But don't jump up to 9, because if you're jumping up to 9, who are you getting? You're probably going to get one of the better receivers. It's, mm-hmm, a draft full of receivers.
Yeah.
So that's my only thing. Don't give up the draft capital, because we got too many holes to fill.
Well, the last time the Bills gave up draft capital to move way up to get a receiver, they could have stayed put and gotten OBJ or Mike Evans. Instead, they got Sammy Watkins.
Absolutely. Don't do it.
And I've only got a couple of minutes left, but the Russell Wilson era in Denver is over. Have you ever seen a team botch a situation worse than the Broncos did, giving up all the assets, all the guaranteed money for a player who was on the downside of his career, whose coach, legendary coach, didn't want him anymore, and then gave him a huge extension with a ton of guaranteed money, without actually seeing him play?
I for the life of me, can't understand. I would have got rid of Sean Payton before I got rid of Russell Wilson. Do you realize that Russell, and you probably thinking that's a hot take, mm-hmm, do you realize Russell Wilson threw just as many touchdowns as the MVP Lamar Jackson?
They have
the same amount of touchdowns.
I don't think that cherry-picking individual statistics could make a case of Russell Wilson being what he used to be.
Well, hold on. I agree with you. He's not what he was when he won the Super Bowls, right? But he don't have that team around him.
That's true.
But for you to take that kind of cap hit, that means that you got to suck. You got to be Zach Wilson for me to get rid of you. I could get a new coach. And I'm only saying that because I'm sure Sean Payton, when he took that job and all that money, he told the Bronco brass that I could win with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you need to win with him. I'm sorry, I'm not taking that kind of – there's no way the Broncos is going to recover from this. No way, not for the next couple of years. You are in cap salary. We're bad, but no, they're very bad. Mm-hmm. I would have kept him, and I would have told him, you got to make this work. He's mm-hmm. making way too much money. He's taking a, what did they say? Like, his cap hit is more than anybody else in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sean Payton. I like you. You won a Super Bowl down in New Orleans. That's all great. But, no, I'm not. I'm paying him too much money. So, unless he did something to Regis, like, granted, people say they don't like him. He's not a leader and all that stuff. But unless he goes out and, I don't know, whatever the worst thing in the world is to people, then, no, you got to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. So, I do not want to be there.
I'm glad that didn't happen to Buffalo.
I know that's right. And I know you got to go. One more thing and I need to talk about, dude.
Okay.
ESPN Radio Chicago is saying that Justin Fields is going to get traded any day now.
Okay.
Which, if you're Chicago, and we've talked about this before, I want to revisit it. If you're Chicago, would you trade Justin Fields?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just say, for argument and time's sake, you get, let's say he goes to Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you get a first, second, and third. Is that fair for Justin Fields?
That's a lot for Justin Fields.
So what are you thinking? Second and third?
Probably, yeah.
Or can we do first and third?
Sure, we could do that.
First and third. Let's just say first and third for argument's sake. All right? Now, are you sold on, well, you don't really watch college football. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. So we both trade Justin Fields, but I'm trading that number one pick. Do you realize what you'll get if you trade from the one to the two spot? Unless you just sold, on Caleb Williams, which I'm not, okay, you could get a haul just moving down one pick.
Yeah, and that's just it. The only way I trade Fields is if I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the player I select is going to be substantially better. Otherwise, I'm going to try to develop my own guy.
And I disagree. Let me tell you why. If I move from the first to the second or third pick, I'm going to pick up another one, two, three, and probably another one the next year. Just moving down one or two spots. I'm trading that number one pick. I'm taking whoever else is on the board, because for the next 3 years, I'm going to have three firsts, two, three seconds, couple of thirds for the next couple of years.
Well, do you trade down that one spot and still take a QB?
Yeah, if you want to, not. If not, it don't matter. Because let me tell you something. And this is one me boasting. This is hot take. If you give me three firsts, two or three seconds, two or three thirds for the next 3 years, I'm going to build the San Francisco 49ers, and it won't matter who's my quarterback.
That's a good point. You know what?
That's what I was getting to. This is what I'm getting to. If I'm the Chicago Bears, I trade Fields and I trade down, and I'm going to have so many picks along with my picks that I'm going to build a Super Bowl contender in the next 2-3 years. So it don't matter. If you want to take a quarterback, that's fine. Take the third best quarterback, and you're still going to win. You're still going to win. If you want to be Washington when they took RG3 and Cousins, get two quarterbacks. Build your team.
Yeah. Buddy, give me a song.
Hopefully we win the state championship. Hey, hey, hey. Let's go Rapids.